This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, with your host, seven-time WMA Female Performer of the Year, Belinda Gale, on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails, blessed trails.
Well, welcome to this edition of Blessed Trails. I am Belinda Gale, and I am very proud to be your host today. And I am so excited about the guest we have today. She's just a staple in my community and just a delightful lady with an incredibly interesting life that we're going to hear about. And she is majorly humble, so we're going to have to get her talking. Her name is Sally Bates, and just so pleased to have her with us. But before we get to Sally, I have a song that I would love to play. This is by the late Joey Feek of Joey and Rory. And I chose this song to kind of open the show because when I hear this song, I think of Sally. She is an interesting, bright woman, but she is down to earth, just a salt of the earth. So we're going to play That's Important to Me.
Planning our day around the TV set, paying our bills and staying out of debt. That's important to me. That's important to me. Opening the windows and letting in air, holding hands when we're saying a prayer. That's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. Having somebody to share my life, loving my husband and being a wife, and the very best mother I can be. That's important to me. Family, a home cooked meal, that's important to me. That's important to me. Planting the garden and watching it grow, keeping it country on the radio, that's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. To me. take us somewhere. Still being ourselves if we ever get there. That's important to me. That's important to me. Yeah, that's important to me. That's important to me.
Oh, I love that song. I love that song. Well, yeah, I am so too. Delighted to have Sally with us. And Sally will never tell you all these things about herself, but Sally is a cowgirl, a wife, a mom, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, an amazing poet, author, beautiful singer. She's a teacher. She's a preacher. And she is just an all-round lovely woman. And if you have the opportunity to know Sally, you definitely are blessed. And I am so proud and pleased to have you on the show today. Welcome, Sally.
Oh, thank you, Belinda. That was so sweet. And I love that song, too. I'm glad you used that to introduce me because those things are important to me, too. That was pretty special. Thank you, dear.
Well, we don't know each other like super, super well. We've worked together some and we've certainly crossed paths and laughed together and ate together and all of those things. Yeah. But we've never really like sat down and really gotten to know each other. And that's part of the fun of this show is when I have my friends on, people that I think I know them, and then I find out all kinds of stuff about them I never knew. So it's really a cool experience. But what I know of you, I knew that song would fit perfectly.
It does. Thank you. It does.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I am, you know, I do want to get to know you better. So first of all, and now we just keep in mind that there are people listening to this show from all over the world, which is kind of mind-boggling to me, but that is the nature of our technology today. So there are people that, you know, don't understand the Western lifestyle, don't understand things about that. So what I would love for you to do for me and for the people who are listening, Sally, is to just give us a little, you know, brief synopsis of how you grew up, because you're a woman of the high desert in Arizona. And like I said, you're a cowgirl. And so just fill us in on what your early life was like.
Oh, gosh. Well, it was a very remote life. We lived, it took us about an hour and a half to drive to the closest town, which was Prescott. And we only went to town once a month, and that was on payday, which was somewhere around the first of the third of the month. I had four siblings, a brother and three sisters. And we literally were raised on a ranch, and we moved to three different ranches while I was growing up. My dad was a cowboy, which is way different than being a rancher. We didn't own the ranches. We just worked on them. And wherever he was hired on, that's where we lived. And us girls grew up being daddy's helpers. My brother left home when he was about 17, I think. But we just grew up hard. You know, we didn't know we were poor and we didn't know life was hard. We just loved it. And we enjoyed growing up that way. I was horseback as often as I could get that way. We went to school at home. And I graduated from correspondence course when we were living at the Yolo Ranch, which was about 70 miles from Prescott. At that point in time, we'd gone even further. My dad passed away when he was working on a ranch out there, and my mom had to move to town. And, of course, when that happens, everybody in the family has to move to town. So we lost our ranching environment, but we've all held on to it. We've all stayed involved in the livestock industry somehow. Mm-hmm. And I grew up without any television, and we had radio at night when we started the generator. But my dad played the guitar and my mom played the mandolin, and they taught me how to play the guitar a little bit. And so we entertained ourselves that way. Mm-hmm. We had neighbors that came over, and the nearest neighbor was about 14 miles up the road, and the one after that was about 30. So, but they would come by sometimes and chat and visit. And we would play guitars and share stories. And it was a wonderful way to grow up. I loved it. Like I said, I didn't know we were poor, and I didn't know it was a hard life. And I grew up that way. I married when I was 18 and Then we lived, I married a man who was working as a cowboy also. We lived on a couple of different ranches up by Seligman, worked around this part of the country a lot. So I got acquainted with a lot of the ranch people. And then because it's a part of who I am now, and about 30 years ago, I got involved with the Arizona Cowboy Poets Gathering and found out there was a whole nother family out there that liked poetry and music. Which I thought there was probably only 5 or 6 of us in the whole world, so I was shocked when I found out that.
Well, let's say that. Let's save that. We'll talk about that a little bit later because we do want to explore that because that's an important piece of who you are in this community right now. But you know what? I really would love to tell you to tell us about. So I did some checking up on you, Sally.
Okay.
I want you.
All right.
I want you to tell us about Wallace and his pin curl crew.
You did do some checking up.
I did.
Well, actually, what became known as the Pin Curl Crew was my little sisters. And as I said earlier, we were my dad's help. You know, when he was a single cowboy, I mean, he was the only cowboy working on the ranches. So when he needed help, he put us kids horseback. But when they had moved up to the Yolo Ranch and we were living up there, I had been farmed out to go to school in town for a while. And so my dad had the 3 little girls. And at that point in time, I think the oldest one was about maybe 14 and then 12 and 10. And they were good help. I mean, they literally helped him with everything. They branded, they gathered, they did the cutting, the everything. I mean, there wasn't anything that the cowboys did that they didn't do. They did it all.
Wow.
And, one of the neighbor foremen, all of his cowboy crew came in one day and they were all drunk and hungover from the night before. And he went to try to get them up and they wouldn't come up. So he said, all right, you guys got 5 minutes to get to the kitchen table or I'm going next door and get Harper's Pin Curl crew and we'll get the job done. And so that's the name stuck. Yeah.
Well, I love it. There's a poem in there. There has to be.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine. Well, we're going to a song right now. And this is, I know you know this cowboy. He's a good friend of all of ours, R.W. Hampton. And this is a song that he wrote. And this, I showcase this song a lot on my show because it's one of my very, very favorites because I can so relate to it. And so we're going to listen now to Shadow of the Cross.
Yeah, thank you.
In the shadow of the cross, I have finally found some peace. As I journey up the rocky road of life, it offers shelter and relief. Through the mountains and the valleys, it marks the way so I'm not lost. As I travel up this steep and narrow trail, in the shadow of the cross, in the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God help me to that precious blood that stains the tree. God grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, oh, the healing power there, freedom from the pain that life may bring, there's only comfort and care. For a bright and mighty promise, it was there, he paid the cost. With the best that the master had to give, in the shadow of the cross. In the shadow of the cross, that's where I lay my burdens down. And when the flood of doubts come rolling in, it's my place of higher ground. God help me to remember that precious blood that stained the tree. God grant that I may never forget that precious blood was shed for me. In the shadow of the cross, it was all done for me.
Just love him. Oh,
I do. I love that song. I love R.W. He's such a special gentleman. Such a special gentleman.
He is. He's just so genuine and down to earth, and just so open with all of his flaws and warts and just him. And he just lets the chips fall where they may. I just love it. I love that.
Yep, I do too.
But
I didn't know. I didn't know he had all that stuff wrong with him, though. I thought he was perfect. Now you've ruined my whole image of R.W.
Oh,
I thought he was perfect, and now I know he's not. We have a problem, Belinda. We're going to have to talk.
We will talk. We will definitely do coffee. I'll fill you in.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? Something that I would love to know about Sally is, because one thing that always come up when you talk about Sally Bates, it's her faith. It's her just unwavering, steadfast dedication to the Lord and being about her Father's business. And I just so admire that facet of who you are. So tell us how you came to know the Lord and the impact that's had on your life.
Gosh, well, my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, told me that she went forward with me at my request when I was about 4 years old. Went to an altar in the Baptist church that my grandparents, her parents, were the pastors there. And I accepted the Lord then. And she said, Sally, it was the most real prayer I've ever heard prayed. And I asked the Lord into my life then. And so I can't ever remember not having the Lord in me, talking to me. And I just knew from that time that he was real, that I was never alone. No matter what was happening in my life, I was never alone. He was always with me. And of course, then I did what a lot of people do. And when I got older and living on ranches, we were not churched. My mom read the Bible to us, and we had to memorize scripture as part of our homeschooling. But when I got married, I married a man who was not a believer, and I went through a very hard marriage for 8 years. And when I got out of that, a friend was babysitting my children, and she took me to church. And I went forward and recommitted my life to the Lord, and that was, I was 23 years old. And I absolutely, from that point on, he's never let me go. And when people talk about my unwavering faith, I very quickly say it's not my unwavering faith, it's his. It's his unwavering faith to me and in me. It's his grace that holds me fast. And in my staggerings, like you were, you know, laughing about R.W. with all of his warts, and I've got some really big ones that I don't, you know, expose very often. We don't talk about those warts.
Don't we all? Like,
yeah, no, we cover those up, and we bury them, and we don't want anybody to look, but they're there, and they're there for all of us. But it's God's unwavering grace, and it's his unwavering faith. And it holds me fast. It just has never let me go. And he told me a long time ago that I was a bridge. He said, I'm going to use you as a bridge, and you will get people from point A to point B. and I will let you know when and where and how. And so that's been my walk. I've just been a bridge, and I've been available to do whatever he asked me to do when he asked me to do it.
Mm. Wow. Well, I understand that you've been really instrumental in setting up, developing, and helping promote and move forward a lot of cowboy churches because you recognized that there was a need there. Do you want to tell us about that?
I did. Right, not very long after I recommitted my life to the Lord, a friend gave me a copy of a newspaper out of Texas called the Christian I don't think it was a Christian Ranch, but I think it's a Christian Cowboy. It was put out for Cowboys for Christ. And she looked at me and she said, how come we don't have one of these in Arizona anywhere? And I said, well, I don't know, but we should. And that just set me on a journey of getting acquainted and touching base with men that I knew were Christians. And it was very interesting because about the time that I was reaching out to five men here in the community that I knew were pastors or Christians, and wanted to introduce them to Cowboys for Christ as an outreach ministry, they were having a meeting at one of the gentlemen's house, and he had just gotten the phone call and message from me the night before. Mm. So they invited me to come over, and I acted as the secretary for their Cowboys for Christ chapter, and we operated under that heading for a number of years. And we did. We just started doing rodeo ministry. We'd set up at the rodeos, which was unheard of then. Went to ropings and rodeos and junior rodeos and high school rodeos. And through the up until just a couple of years ago, my life was pretty full of going and doing cowboy church for the high school rodeo ministries, junior rodeo kids, and then going to any rodeo that would open the doors. I think the most staggering experience I had was, I think it was about the third time we went to Williams to a rodeo there and set up, and we were doing cowboy church early in the morning, and a man actually spit on me and called me a Bible banger and told me to go home. And,
wow.
And I say that going, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because it showed me how desperately the need was for people to be there and do this, because there was such a hollow, empty place out there that only God could fill.
Wow.
And so it gave me a drive to be there and to do it regardless of what happened.
Wow.
And we helped establish, I think at one point in time, 9 different cowboy churches in Arizona.
Wow.
I don't think any of them are still functioning. But there are a lot of cowboy churches, but not the ones that we helped get started.
Right.
There are a lot of them still in Arizona that are functioning under different headship. But
sure.
About 5 years ago, the Lord put Pat and I, my husband's name is Pat, and he put us in a little church here in Chino Valley. The pastor is a cowboy. He's worked as a cowboy all over the place, and his family ministers in Honduras and Ecuador. And but he's cowboyed in Florida and Oklahoma and Texas, and he's just a precious, precious man of God. And the Lord told us to just settle in with him and be his undergirding and one of the pillars in his church. So so we haven't done a lot of cowboy ministry for a long time. We've just been established here locally for a while.
Well, it sounds like a new season in your life, and the Lord definitely takes us through different seasons. And then raises others. And as far as the cowboy church is kind of going away and new ones cropping up, I mean, cowboys are kind of a transient group because like your dad, you know, they work here and then they get moved around to someplace else. And so that kind of happens. But wow, that's powerful, powerful. And I know that, and cowboys lots of times, and I know that you've experienced this, they may not darken the door of an established church, but if it's a group of cowboys getting together, because they work so closely with the land and with the animals, and they have a very deep spirituality about them, that they just, they don't want to be in a building. They don't want to go where it's so structured, because that's not their nature. Right. So you have to meet them where they are.
It is. We do. And yet still encourage them to not be against going into a church building. You know, they need to be nurtured there as well. But when we first started doing cowboy church, and there were already a lot of Christian cowboys in the what's called the Arizona Cowpunchers Association, And I was one of the earlier members of that association. And we'd kind of meet out in the, you know, out behind the barn kind of thing. And, you know, somebody'd pick up a guitar and we'd all just praise the Lord for a while. But we started doing an actual service there. And that was about 35 years ago, I'm thinking. And we were just all excited if 14 or 20 people would show up. I mean, that was just like, oh my gosh, look at the people showed up. And in the last 3 years, we had to move it out of the barn into the grandstands. And now that church service fills 3 sections of the grandstands on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
Wow.
So that's just been such an encouragement to see the seeds that were planted and the spirits being there and people's lives being changed and testimonies being shared. And that group of people has just exploded into the ministry. And it's just been I don't like to word these awesome too much, but it has been incredible and it's been awesome to watch it unfold through the years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And you were part of the bridge that made that happen. That's awesome. That is awesome. I'm with you. I'm not big on using the only thing that's truly, truly awesome is our Lord, but there are things that happen that are awesome because they're connected to him. That's for sure. So great. Well, we're going to go to another song right now. And this is, I don't know if you've heard this one by Joni Harms, but I really enjoy it. And it's called,
I haven't. And I saw it. Yeah. I saw it on the list and I was anxious to hear it. Good.
It's a good one. It's called That's Faith.
The song is called That's Faith.
Is that a good one, or is that a good one, Sally?
Oh, that's an awesome one. I love it. Love it.
Isn't it?
Awesome.
I do too. She's such a great songwriter and performer. I really love what she does. And talking about performing, you were instrumental and on the ground floor of getting the legendary and awesome Cowboy Poets Gathering, Arizona Cowboy Poets Gathering here in Prescott, started. I don't even know how many years ago that started, but it's, you know, one
30,
of the
30 years ago today. This year is 30 years. This is their 30th anniversary. It's pretty amazing, yeah.
Wow.
We never thought it'd last.
well, tell us how that even came about. That's a pretty huge undertaking.
It is. You know, Warren Miller was one of the folklorists that was employed there at the Charlotte Hall Museum. And he knew Hal Cannon from Elko, Nevada. And he and John Kennedy went to Elko, and they came back with the idea to start one here. And I knew Johnny Kennedy, and he was a good friend of mine, still is. But and he invited me to come along alongside and get on the committee and see what we could do to help. And of course, having been raised with cowboy songs and growing up with that whole lifestyle, and I read Charlotte Hall's books till I wore the pages thin. So I was excited to see that would begin to unfold in this area, but had no idea how many people really enjoyed poetry at all, let alone cowboy poetry. Mm-hmm. But they're going to honor the first committee at the gathering this year.
Wonderful.
I think there are several of them still here. And I was lucky enough and blessed enough to be one of those. And I just, I think they tried to get rid of me for 8 or 10 years, but I was just too stubborn and I wouldn't leave. So I've actually been there for the whole 30 years. This will be my 30th year to perform there and to help get it going, keep it going. And been an amazing journey. And that opened up a whole new family to me. I'm sitting here, RW and Joni Harms, and you know, I'm looking at the Sons of the San Joaquin are going to do some, you know, have a song on by them. They came, I think it was the third year we did a gathering here. They came and I ran into them. They're such great guys. I have to tell this story because they're such amazing men.
They are.
I ran into them in Elko and I asked them, what would it take to get you to Prescott next year? And they said, call us. And they came down for, I don't even remember what pitiful amount they paid them, and we put them in a motel room. But this was the impressive part. I was doing, it happened to be the same weekend as a high school rodeo. And I was doing the high school rodeo ministry then. So I said, you know, this is crazy, but would you guys come and sing a song in the morning out for the kids at the high school rodeo? And they were like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, they stayed up jamming until probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and then had to get up and come out to the rodeo grounds and plug into this lousy little sound system I had that was barely sufficient. And they did 30 minutes worth of music for those kids, shared their testimony, and then stayed around and visited with the kids. It just touched my heart so much. They're just such great guys.
They are.
You know, that extended part, meeting you, all of the people that have come into my life in the last 30 years because of being involved with it is such a gift from God. Mm. So many Christian people, so many beautiful hearts out there that have just accepted me and let me participate and hang around and be a part of it and act like I belong there. And it's just been this incredible journey. And I love that family. I love my family, but that family is just so precious to me, and it's been such a gift from God.
I think you have pretty much lined out most of the gatherings around the country have that same kind of feel. And I think for me, Sally, I think the Western lifestyle, you know, the ranching lifestyle and living close to the land, whether you're a farmer or a cowboy, it grounds you. And your priorities are different. The things that, you know, family is a big deal. And all of the things that kind of solidify as a family, no matter where you are in the country. And so the people that, you know, God, family, country are important to them are the people that are drawn to these gatherings. And so you just get this, not only the performer, but the people that show up to listen.
Yeah.
99% of them are just amazing, extraordinary people that you just want to hug, you know, and you just want to be friends with all of them. So it's, it is this whole cowboy gathering thing. And, but I mean, how did you guys go about when initially, just to kick this thing off, how did you even know it was so young back 30 years ago? How did you even know how to get hold of people and who to get hold of?
Well, because of Hal Cannon and Warren Miller and their connection. Warren working at the museum, and Warren had actually taken a group of cowboy poets earlier. He took some to Hawaii, and there were like Everett Brizendine and Slim Kite, and some of those really, really old, honest to God cowboy poets. They all went on a tour, and he had, like I said, he had connections with Hal Cannon. And then another lady that you don't hear about very much is Mrs. Sweetwater, and she was a teacher in Elko, Nevada. And she actually was having cowboy poetry gatherings before Hal Cannon ever had a cowboy poetry gathering. I've mentioned her. Vess Quinlan was the one who introduced that to me and sent me information on her. But when you go to the gatherings and you meet other performers, and then you invite them to come and be a part of it. Early on, there were very few women, and I think we only had like maybe 22 or 23 people at the first couple of gatherings that we had. But then it just exploded, and Elko exploded, and we were, I think we were the third one that was actually a formalized gathering. Elko did theirs, and then Alpine, Texas, which is still one of my all-time favorite gatherings. I'd rather go there than anywhere. And then Prescott was the one after that. And so in going to those, being invited to them and going and performing, you met other people, and then you invite them. And then it just made itself. Built its own, body, so to speak.
It sure does. Oh, wow. Well, we're going to do another song now. And this one is, I'm so excited to get. This is actually your song. You wrote it. You are singing it, which you have a really lovely voice. You've been holding out, Sally. I knew you as a poet and an author, but not as a singer. So I'm like, wow, listen to her. I was so impressed.
Oh, thank you.
When we come back from this, we want to talk about your writing, because that's a big part of your life now. And so we're going to give our listeners a taste of your writing abilities with this beautiful song. And it's, introduce it for us. How did you come to write it?
You know, I had a couple of lines for this song for many months, and finally one day I just sat down and said, you know, Lord, I think this is supposed to be something, and I just started writing, and there it was.
And the title is?
Gifts that he, When the North Wind Blows.
Yes. Well, let's listen to this gift that the Lord gave you, and you got on paper, When the North Wind Blows.
Thank you.
He was born up high where the mountain of sky hears the north wind sigh. But his urge to roam led his heart from home to the warmth of the desert skies. Now the cowboy's old and his heart grows cold. So he came to rest where a cowboy's best was the home of a cold bedroll, where the malapai grows as hard and as high as the heart of a wandering soul. Now the cowboy's old and his heart grows cold. Thank you.
Now he waits alone on a dusty throne in a land where the greasewood grows. And he waits to be where his soul is free once again in the high country. Now the cowboy's old and his heart grows cold when the north wind blows. When the north wind blows.
That's lovely.
Oh, thank you.
That's lovely, Sally. Wow. So tell us about your writing. When did, because, I mean, not only, you know, you write songs, you write poems, but you have novels, you have poetry books, I believe, and children's books. So you are quite prolific with your writing. So tell us where that came from.
Well, I guess the same place all the other gifts come from. God, you know, it says God gives gifts, and I just appreciate the ones he's given me, and I just to kind of start doing whatever he sets before me to do. The novels are kind of an interesting part of, and that's just happened in the last 3 years. I always wanted to write a book when I was a kid, but I was busy writing poetry and doing gatherings and singing and doing those things and traveling. But not too long ago, one of my nephews came to me and started talking about our family history. And he knew nothing about my grandparents or my dad or where our roots were. My grandmother was born in a covered wagon coming out of Texas into New Mexico in 1900 mm-hmm. and lived to see men on the moon.
Wow.
And my other grandparents, I think just about everybody knows, my dad's side of the family go back to the Brazels in New Mexico, and Wayne Brazel was the man who killed Pat Garrett. So we had all of this family history, and none of the kids knew anything about it. And so I decided to write that down, but not everybody in the family was real thrilled about me writing the family history. So I said, well, okay, then I'll just do it this way. I'll just write a novel, and we'll base it on some of this stuff, and then I'll just change all the names to protect the guilty. So, so that's... 3 years ago, I wrote the first novel, and that was about my dad's side of the family in New Mexico and then moving to Arizona. And of course, it's just loosely based on family history, but all of the stories in it really happened.
Wow.
And then the next one, I went to my grandmother's side, the one who was born in the covered wagon, and I took her life story and wove that into a novel called Queen of the Hollyhocks. Mm. And then I just finished, I'm in the editing process. Amy Steiger's helping me with that. I just finished the third one, which is based on my mom and her mother. And it's loosely based on all of the things that happened to her and my dad and all of us growing up on the ranches and that kind of thing.
Wow.
So when those are done, I think I'm going to be done with that for a while. And it was strictly written, and it was a project that I did for my family. I wanted that family history down somewhere. Even though it's not, you know, like a documentary, it's the rootstock and the way they lived and the kind of life they lived. And
wow.
That we're only, you know, we're only five generations from Indian Wars right here in Yavapai County.
Yes.
So when you think about that, it's, I mean, I went to school with a kid whose uncle and a friend of his actually fought the last Indian War over on Burt Ranch.
Wow.
Right there out of Prescott. And when you think about that, it's staggering to think that, you know, back east, they have no clue that we are still struggling with the leftovers from three generations ago, you know, hearing about wars and Indian wars and killings. And like I said, in my family tree, there's this killing that took place, and it was infamous. It's recent enough that the scars are still in the family unit. And I wanted the kids to know this is where you come from.
Wow. What a legacy. Oh, my gosh, Sally. That's what an amazing way to leave that, because people may not sit down and, like, go through genealogy. And even if stories are included in the genealogy, they just kind of get stuffed away in a cupboard and nobody really busts them out too much. But in novel form. Oh my gosh, they can live the life, right? A lot of people. What a gift to your family. I hope they realize what a treasure you've provided them with.
I think some of them do. I think some of them haven't got a clue. And that's okay. Maybe someday they will.
That's family.
You know, when they grow up and get old and don't have anything else to do, they'll read the books. And then the children's stories, the one of those is called Monsoon Coyote. And my granddaughter and I wrote that when she was about 4 years old. And I just was able to get that published a couple of years ago. And she's now a teacher in a Montessori school in Flagstaff. So I was able to take that book.
Wow.
And she and I were able to read the story to her first class, which was an incredible gift to be able to share that with her. Yeah, it was really, really fun.
That's something I've always wanted to do since I was in my 20s was write children's books, because children just take my heart and just wrap it up in a little.
They're so precious.
Oh my
they
gosh,
are.
Children just get to me like you cannot believe.
I
love telling stories. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, then just do it, because if it's in your heart to do it, then you will do it. Sooner or later, it'll work its way out of there. I guarantee
it'll work its way out.
It will.
When I slow down enough, right?
Well, just don't do like I've done and keep a pad of paper on the seat beside you, because it can lead to visits to the local ditch. Because I have several poems that were written from a ditch on the way to somewhere. Carry a tape recorder, honey. It's a lot easier.
Okay, I'm noted. I will have to do that for sure. I can see that. Oh gosh. Well, we're gonna go to a song now, and this is those precious men that you referred to later. And they have a very special place in my heart, because as my first, I don't know if you know this or not, Sally, but my first year in Western music, my very first Western music anything was going to the WMA at the convention in Tucson. And I was a travel agent at the time and had done airline tickets for these guys to fly them around everywhere they were singing.
Goodness.
And I went to them, and I was so, did not want to make a fool of myself at this fall that I was going to. And so I asked Joe to listen to me yodel and make sure I was doing it right. And that led to them asking me to do the girls' part on Prairie Girl at the festival.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine I show up as a nobody. Nobody even knows who I am. And I go walking on stage on the night show just to do this duet with Jack. And I really ticked a bunch of people off right away, to be honest with you.
Don't worry about it, honey. I've been doing that for so long. I'm used to it. Okay.
Yes. But they literally took me under their wing for the next year and hauled me around with them. And I performed that song. I really learned what this genre of music was all about. And I think my favorite thing I learned from them was how to behave as a performer. How do you treat the crew, you know, the backstage people?
Yes.
How do you treat your sound man?
Yes.
How do you treat your fans?
Important.
You know,
yeah,
and it
exactly.
was just, they are so classy and generous and caring. And it just, I went to school for a year, and it was a priceless treasure for
you
me.
You couldn't have had better teachers. They're just so precious. Yeah. I love Jack and the whole trio is just awesome. But when I met Joe, I thought I would love to sit down across the table with a big pot of coffee and have you tell me what life is really all about, because those eyes are full of the Lord and love of life. I would just love to hear your take on what life is all about. There's just something in his eyes that just permeates it's like looking into God's eyes almost. You're just like, whoa, what's in there? Yeah, great, 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 great crew. Just awesome, man.
They are. Well, we're going to listen to them do a song from their gospel CD called Unclouded Day.
Love it.
Yes.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Or they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day.
Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
That just makes your heart smile.
I know it does.
Well, I could. Can you believe we've been? It's an hour. We've been on just about an hour, girlfriend.
That's crazy. I know. Well, that's what happens when girls get to talking.
Yes, you know, we're having too much fun.
Before we go any further, though, I just wanted to read a scripture before we get any further.
Sure.
It's out of Ephesians 3:20-21. We are just studying it this morning in our ladies' Bible study. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I love that scripture, and I just wanted to get that in there before we get gone.
Of course. Oh, welcomed. Thank you. That is one of my favorites too. That's a beautiful scripture to share with everybody, Sally, and you just kind of live that scripture and just count on the Lord and lean on him and just let all of it just happen as the Lord leads and guides. And that takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith to do that. When we give him control, when we hand those reins over to him, wow, he takes you places you never ever dreamed.
Beyond anything we could think, even.
yes, amen. Even dream. Sure. Yes, of course. Oh, my goodness. Well, Sally, people, I think, will want to get a hold of your books. I know I would love to read your books about your family. That sounds fascinating to me. Where can people get hold of you if they want to get their hands on your music, your poetry, your books?
They can get the books right now. They can get the books on Amazon.com. And they are published under Sally Harper Bates. I used my maiden name in there. So they can look up Amazon, Sally Harper Bates. I have, I think, 5 books on there now. Or they can look me up on Facebook. Just look me up on Facebook, Sally Bates, and Chino Valley, Arizona, and just message me, and I'll get the message and respond.
Well, that sounds awesome. Well, thank you again so much for being on the show. This was so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
And we have to make that coffee happen. We've been trying
to do that
how many months now we've been trying to get together for coffee.
Yes, we have a lot. And it'll happen. We'll just wait for the world to unfold.
It will.
Maybe we'll just run into each other someplace and go, this is it.
This is it. This is it.
Okay.
And we're going to close with a song that I love. I know you know Jeff Gore, and this is probably one of my favorites of Jeff, because we know that we are under our leadership, no matter whether you like it or don't like it. And so we just have to pray for our leadership and pray for our country, because if they're in leadership, God has placed them there. And we just have to trust that and just pray that his will be accomplished. And that's kind of what this song is about. So thank you again, Sally. And let's listen to Jeff Gore's Old Glory.
Okay. Thank you.
She wrote in, the music began, and the crowd began to sting. She waved that flag above her head to the playing of the band. I stood there on the front row with my hat in my hand. She rode by when Old Glory brushed across my face, drew a tear from my eye. Oh, Spirit among us, touch us with your loving hand. We've turned our backs on you, it seems, though only you can see. Make us once again the land of the free and the home of the brave. Finished the anthem and she rode away, and the cowboys began to ride. And I stood right there and I bowed my head, and from my heart I cried. Oh Lord, heal our nation. Oh Lord, heal our nation. Send your Spirit among us, touch us with your loving hand. We've turned our backs on you, it seems, though only you can see. Make us once again the land of the free and the home of the brave. So Lord, heal our nation. Oh Lord, heal our land. Send your Spirit among us. Touch us with your loving hand. We've turned our backs on you, it seems, though only you can see. Make us once again. Make us once again the land of the free and the home of the brave. Make us once again the land of the free and the home of the brave.
That's That is definitely our prayer. Oh my goodness. Well, I, as I always do, I pray over these shows before we ever do them and ask the Lord to give me scriptures to share. And he led me to two for, to close the show out today. And the first one is in Romans 12:2. And it says, "Do conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And for me, to be not conformed to the pattern of this world is when you immerse yourself in the word of the Lord. Because when you have his word, you're carrying that in your heart and in your mind. You're looking at the world through a very different filter than if you're just within your own flesh. And when you're looking through the world in that filter, through the filter of God's word, then you can test and find the approval in God's will and know what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is in your life. And you wait for that unction, for that movement, for that affirmation from God that you're doing what he wants you to do. And then the second one is about our hearts and to really serve the Lord the way we really want to and need to really be an instrument in his hands. We have to have a heart for the Lord. And so that's the second scripture is in Psalm 51:10. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And this made me think of what Sally was saying, that that steadfast spirit, that that is not her being steadfast, that is indeed the Holy Spirit creating that steadfastness within her. And I just thought, wow, that just brings it right back to the scripture. I was so thrilled to hear her say that because it affirmed to me that I was right on with the scripture the Lord laid on my heart. And so we just pray for that pure heart and the steadfast spirit will come with that. So that's kind of our show for the day. I think it kind of wraps it up. I think it's been a wonderful show. So much fun with Sally Bates. Thank you, Sally, for just sharing your heart with us today. And thanks to all of you for giving us the very precious gift of your time. We really, really do appreciate you joining us. And there's never a big enough thank you for my amazing producer, Gary Holt. He does so much work behind the scenes, and you just never know what's going to happen. And he seems to always have it covered. So appreciate him. And please check out all the other shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And remember that they are all archived for you to listen to at your convenience. And we even have this great mobile app that you can put on your phone so that you can listen to these shows anywhere you want to take us. And if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. And thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
Until the day. the things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed. And things of earth that cause my heart to tremble. I'll carry on.